Hello, and welcome to What Was That About with Kate and Sophia. I'm Kate.
And I'm Sophia, and What Was That About is a show where we talk books, movies, music, media, all things pop culture.
Now let's get into it. Today, as your resident Swifties here at What Was That About, me and Sophia are going to discuss the Tortured Poets Department. For those of you who don't know, Taylor Swift, about a month ago? A month ago-ish. She announced at the Grammys, I believe, yes, Grammys, that she was releasing a new album coming out in April. So, oh my God, next month.
It's April 19th, I want to say.
Yes,
so
it is.
About almost exactly a month away.
A month away, called The Tortured Poets Department. She has released track list, and... yeah, that's pretty much kind of where we're at this point.
Yes. And I believe she said she wrote all of these songs a few years ago,
yes.
Correct?
So for those of you who don't know, no judgment if you don't know this. If you're not a teenage girl, you probably aren't keeping track of Taylor Swift's love life. Even if you are, you might not be. But for those of you who don't know, Taylor Swift was in about a 6-year-long relationship with actor Joe Alwyn.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone kind of thought that they were going to get married. It was a pretty secret relationship. Nobody knew that much about it. She released Midnights, and then pretty soon after Midnights, a month into her Eras tour, so back in like 2023, like probably April-ish, 2023, it was announced that her and Joe Alwyn had broken up. After, 6 years of dating. So, for people who were Swifties, it was kind of like, oh my gosh, that's kind of out of nowhere. And then, and now she's dating Travis Kelce. But,
yes.
Which, love him. But, after that was announced, a lot of people were speculating, Midnights is actually a breakup album. And if you listen to it with the lens of that, you can kind of get why people would say, Midnights is a breakup album. I think there's a lot of songs that kind of come across in that way. And so everyone was kind of like, okay, cool. And then we all moved on with our lives. And then at the Grammys, everyone was expecting her to announce Reputation, Taylor's version.
Yes. And then...
And then...
She announced a new album, Poets Department.
Yes. And in my opinion, this album is a tell-all album about the ending of her and Joe Alwyn's relationship.
Yes, I believe so. Because I think that... Did she say when it was... I don't remember. But... She said these aren't newly written songs. These are from a few years ago. And it seems to track with the time where her relationship with Joe Alwyn ended.
Yeah, and also the other thing about that is, so the song You're Losing Me is a bonus track on Midnights. And it it's a devastating breakup song.
Yes.
It's basically just about a song about how, she's, begging for this person, Joe, most likely, to fight for her and to fight for this relationship. Yeah. And, why aren't you doing
anything?
You're
losing me.
You're losing me. Say something.
Uh-huh.
Do something.
Do something. Say something.
And, it's,
risk something.
Yes, exactly. It's a really good, it's such a good song.
Yes.
It's a very devastating breakup song. So everyone after her and Joe's split was announced, that was released, and it was kind of like, oh my God. But we kind of thought that was all we were going to get. And now we're getting this album, and the reason I say, and the reason why a lot of people are speculating that it's about her and Joe Alwyn's breakup is just basically the track list.
Yes.
And the fact that, this is the most recent relationship long-term relationship she's been in, and I can't imagine what a 6-year relationship, when you're that age, because if you're in that long a relationship, in your 30s, you're probably expecting that you're going to, marry this person, spend the rest of your life with this person. She wrote the album Lover about him. She wrote Reputation about him, which is actually a love album.
Yes.
She wrote so many songs about him.
Uh-huh.
And, the song Lover is written about him, and that song's, the pinnacle of a love song. Invisible Strings is written about.
Yes.
She wrote Folklore and Evermore with this man.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff happening with her and Joe Alwyn. There's a lot of...
Yeah.
We've explained the lore.
And this is all also speculation.
There's a lot... Well, this is the lore.
Yes.
You can see probably how it might connect to her relationship with the album. Joe Alwyn. To jump a little bit into the album, I have the track list up now. And there's a few different interesting things about it.
Yes.
So, first of all, what I'll say is just trying to move on from the Joe Alwyn thing,
yes.
but also looking at it a little bit more in the track list, there's some songs such as Down Bad, My Boy Only Breaks, His Favorite Toys, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, I Can Fix Him, No, I Really Can, Love of My Life. These titles like this are pretty indicative that it's going to be about some heartbreak.
And then there's also, and the reason, this is the last thing I'll say about Joe Allen, and then we'll stop talking about him. The only reason why I think it's about him is when she was very in love with him and wrote Lover, she wrote the song London Boy about him. He's English, he's from London.
And then, So Long London.
There's a track called So Long London, which is a very... It's not even like we're reading into that. That's just like direct, like she wanted us to pick up on that.
Yes.
So like that's the one thing I wanted to point out in that regard. And now we can just talk about the track list in general.
So yes, when I'm looking at the track list, the another thing that comes to my mind is we have some very interesting special guests.
Okay.
And the two I'm going to bring up on the first song of the track list, Fortnite, we have Post Malone.
Very interesting.
Which is a very interesting combo.
Post Malone, I feel like he was very, like, maybe I'm just not, you know, in the Post Malone fandom because I'm not at all, but, like, and maybe he is still really big, but I feel like the height of Post Malone was when he wrote Sunflower for Into the Spider-Verse, and that was, like, everywhere, and it was, anyways.
Yeah, I'd argue that the continuation, as someone who's also not in the Post Malone fandom, that other song, there was, like, one year where he released, maybe it was Better Now and also Circles, those two songs. I feel like those two were very popular around the same time, and that was kind of his peak. But I feel like since then we haven't been seeing a lot from him.
Yeah. He was, however, a special guest on Noah Kahan's recent album for Dial Drunk.
That was a fire combo.
It was a fire.
That really hit.
It kind of like, I was
listening
really
to that yesterday and it was really good.
Because Noah Kahan's very folky, and then like Post Malone, he does like, what would you say is style? Like, rap, pop?
Like,
I don't know.
Kind of
really, I feel like not really rap.
It's like kind of maybe synth. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I don't know how to describe it.
I feel like most people have heard a Post Malone song. They get what me and Sophia are talking about. I'm kind of excited for that. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Hip-hop / rap, trap, pop, cloud rap. Do you want the song list?
Yes, I would love the song list.
Okay.
So this is one that I... Okay, so then there's... Flo Rida? Is this on? No, this is Post Malone. This is Taylor Swift.
Yes, let me see.
Oh my
this.
God.
Where?
This one, number 8.
That's Florida featuring Florence.
Okay, so it looks like Flo Rida. Okay.
You're good. You're good.
Give me a break.
Okay. You're good. I'm not hating.
No. Anyways. It has like, okay, the other reason why I thought that is it has 3 exclamation points, but I was very confused. But it's featuring Florence and the Machine, and they were one of the people who was on like that song Home that was really popular in like 2012, you know, like
Home. Oh, yes. Home. Yes.
That. So, I feel like that fits Taylor Swift's vibe a lot more.
Yes.
But I kind of want to talk about like how heartbreaking I think this album is going to be based off of the
Before we say that, can I make one final comment about the guests? Okay. My final thought on the guests are I think this is just going to be very indicative of the vibes of the album as just like how the album sounds as a whole, because I think it's going to be very all over the place.
I agree.
I think that like if we see the concept, not the concept art, if we see the album covers, just the picture she's been posting, it's been very black and white, folklore-y and evermore-y, but you probably know this as well, but it's actually been, the album's actually been listed as synth / pop, I believe.
Hmm.
So I think that maybe
it'll be more Reputation-esque.
It's going to be... Yeah, I think it's going to be, like, lyrically more similar to Folklore and Evermore, but, like,
vibes,
audio, audibly,
Midnights,
Reputation, pop, etc.
Yeah. Okay, and now I kind of want to get into the... So this is one of the track names, and this is something I saw on Instagram. I did not come up with this theory. But there is a song called But Daddy, I Love Him, and... What I saw someone talking about on, like, Instagram Reels or something was, like, there's a line in The Little Mermaid where she's, like, talking to, like, Prince, or, like, her dad, and is like, but Daddy, I love him, like, talking about Prince Eric.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying, like, that's a reference because to fall in love with Prince Eric, her voice had to be taken away. So it's saying that for Taylor Swift to be in the relationship with Joe, with he who not, who will not be named... her voice had to be taken away.
That's so interesting.
And she had to be silenced. And I'm not saying that that's what it is, but that was crazy. That when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, and I had to bring it up. Okay. The other one is like, there's all these ones where it's like, I can fix him.
Uh-huh.
There's one that's, I can fix him, and then in parentheses, no, really, like, I can. And it's just like, I feel like there's a lot of, like, along with like, but daddy, I love him, it's like, it's all the stuff where it's like, it sounds like a lot of people in her life were telling her, like, this relationship is bad. You need to get out of this relationship, like, X, Y, Z. And she was like, no, but I love him. Mm-hmm. I can fix him. He's the love of my life. And then the one that I think is about when she was on tour right after the breakup was, I can do it with a broken heart.
Ooh, true.
Because she was on stage in front of thousands of people every night singing these love songs. She wrote presumably about the person she had just broken up with. And she had to do it with a smile on her face and, like, you know, you know, she's an extremely good performer and she's very professional and she had to do it like that. And I just think that, like, I don't know, just the thought of having to do that and, like, you know, obviously Taylor Swift is an amazing artist and she's, like, a performer and, like, it's her job. So, like, I'm not saying, like, oh, she must have gone through so much. But, like, also, I will say, like, I just think, like, if that song's about that time of her life, like, I don't know, could you just, like, it just seems like that would be such a hard thing to have to do every night. Like, go on stage and, like, sing about how in love you once were to this person you are now not with. And just, like, that, I don't know.
Yes. Okay, two like thoughts. Potentially less deep than what we've been saying. Number one, this is the least relevant thought that I have to share today. But one of the bonus tracks is called The Black Dog.
Oh.
And if you don't, you probably don't know this, but... like, the idea of the black dog has actually been strongly associated to, like, Martha's Vineyard, which is, like, a coastal island.
Oh, yeah, because it's in Massachusetts. Isn't that a brand?
Yeah, it's, like, the black dog. It's just, like, this thing. Nantucket is yellow dog. Martha's Vineyard is black dog. So I'm wondering if it's in reference
to
that.
Okay, East Coast. I feel like that makes a lot more sense than, like, anything else, because also, Taylor Swift does not own dogs. She's a cat person.
I feel like the just vibes of this album seem very coastal.
Yes.
So
I agree.
Anyways, my other thought, just circling back to So Long London, So Long London is a track five. And the lore about track five
is that
on every album, the track five is just the most heartbreaking, the most sad, the just worst, not worst, but like the most heart-wrenching song on the whole album. So So Long London being just juxtaposed to London Boy, which is like the probably very upbeat, very like, oh, I love my London Boy. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting.
And for context, previous track fives have been things like
I
All Too
say,
Well. And All You Had to Do Was Stay, which from 1989, which, yes, musically sounds very like upbeat and stuff. But if you actually listen to those lyrics, it's like, why aren't you staying? Like, why are you leaving me, basically?
My Tears Ricochet.
Yeah, on debut, It's As Cold As You. And I feel like even if you don't know Taylor Swift, like, just hearing these, like, names, you kind of get that.
In short, they're sad songs. They are not happy songs. Oh, yeah. You're On Your Own, Kid.
Yes.
Yes, what anyways.
Speak Now, it's Dear John. Which, if you've ever listened to Dear John, oh my God.
What else is interesting is another song is called Clara Bow, and...
Oh, I've heard stuff about this.
Yes.
So, wasn't she a... She was, like, a starlet in, like, the 1940s, I want to say?
20s? 1920s, yes. Mm-hmm. So, I'm trying to do a little bit more research on her. So, she was kind of, like, the it girl of the 1920s, and she also made a lot of headlines about her personal life, etc., and she wasn't well-liked among a number of actresses just because why? Oh, yes. Okay. So pretty much what happened is she just worked very hard and then ultimately retired from acting in 1933, right? Mm-hmm. And she reached the peak of her stardom in 1920, so this was earlier. And then I'm trying to figure out what happened. I don't know. Yeah,
but
I don't know. She
stuff
just
I've seen is
basically it's like it seems like she was like there was too much fame, pressure, etc. Yeah. So she had to quit.
And it sounds like I feel like probably that song will be something about, you know, Taylor Swift's fame and whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm sure that part of the reason she named it is that I feel like there's probably, I feel like if we look into it, there's probably a lot of parallels between Taylor Swift and this starlet. Basically, Taylor Swift is an extremely, like, I mean, she's just, her songwriting is very, like, if it wasn't put to music, it would still be, like,
compelling.
Yes, compelling, like, poetry-style writing, right? So it's, like, it's very, it has very deep meanings, and, like, you know, it kind of takes, like, my sister, for example, took a whole college course called Taylor Swift is Literature, where they analyzed Taylor Swift's lyrics as literature.
That's cute.
And so, like, I feel like, you know, if you can have a whole college course about it, then, like, I feel like that shows how deep she is. I mean, you can even play the game of Taylor Swift lyric or Shakespeare line,
yeah,
or something like that. Like, so I feel like, you know, as much hate as Taylor Swift gets, the one thing's for sure, she is an extremely talented songwriter.
For sure.
Like, and I feel like this is just going to be an album that is an extremely
compelling
album with extremely good lyrics. And the other reason I say that about this, because stuff she said in interviews where she said something about when she announced the Tortured Poets Department, she said something like, this was the first album that I needed to write to survive.
Oh.
Like, basically she was like, to get through this part of my life, I needed to write this album. Like, I feel like she's always kind of discussed how she's always needed songwriting to kind of, like, process things. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like she's really put emphasis on how, like, this writing this album really got her through, like, mm-hmm, one of the worst times of her life. And so I feel like because we know that, this album is just going to be devastating.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Final thoughts for me are that it's kind of funny that it's the Tortured Poets Department. Well, it's not funny that it is the Tortured Poets Department.
Say,
it's the fact that I feel like I could not remember what the album was called,
yes,
for a solid month.
I keep wanting to say Tortured Poets Society or Dead Poets Society or Dead Poets Department. I don't know. Anyways, but the last two things I will say, and then because they relate, because this is stuff that I've seen and it's just funny, was there's an interview with Joe Alwyn and what's his... Paul Mescal, or
I don't know
something like that.
Some guy
who he was, anyways. And they have this group chat, and they talked about it in an interview. They have a group chat, and like I think like Andrew Garfield's in it, or I don't know, a bunch of random guy actors are in it. It's called the Tortured Men's Department. So that's kind of funny. And then the other thing I saw was, and I don't know if this is real, but like I saw this thing about how, like, the last battle of the Revolutionary War when America was splitting from Britain was, like, on April 19th or something like that, or, like, it ended on April 19th. I have no idea if that's real. I saw that on Instagram, and that just made me laugh, because I feel like we might be giving Taylor Swift too much credit if that's true, but, like, and that just made me laugh, so I just wanted to mention it.
I actually have the lore and I have my interpretation of it. So, actually, the Revolutionary War started with the Battle of Lexington and Concord on April 19th.
Oh my
AKA
god!
AKA U.S. versus Britain. So if we want to look
AKA
at this with a lens of
with
Taylor
a historical
Swift,
lens and Taylor Swift.
So pretty much, my interpretation is, we have Britain, a.k.a. Joe. We have Taylor Swift, a.k.a. the U.S. And this is, Taylor Swift is starting the process of, like, freeing herself permanently.
From Britain's control. Oh, my God. So, anyways, Taylor Swift is a genius. If you don't agree, grow up.
Anyways.
I'm sort of kidding. I'm not really kidding.
Yeah.
Live, laugh, love, Taylor Swift. I'm so excited for this album. We will be doing probably a larger debrief after this album comes out with our thoughts on all the songs. And if you listen to our Olivia Rodrigo Guts episode, it'll be probably similar to that, but probably more in depth. Overall, this has been our episode for today. I hope you all enjoy and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'm Kate.
I'm Sophia, and this has been What Was That About on 88 and the Bridge.